welcome into the Who's On podcast, part of the Safer Podcast Network. Baseball season, believe it or not, yes, I said the words, is just around the corner, and I got a special guest today coming with me, is Jay Wolfhook, seventh in UVA history pitching appearances, Charlottesville Regional Most Outstanding Player, one of Perfect Game's top 25 seniors in college baseball this senior, and Virginia's Bo Jackson. Jay Wolfhook joining the Who's On podcast today. Thanks for coming on, Jay.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
How excited are you? Just, you've been through fall ball, you've been through, the start of practice now just to get the season underway, especially because y'all get to go on a little trip to start the year.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a grind, it's been snowing here. So kind of been in the indoor, just practicing. We're all itching to get on the field, and whether that's in for Charlottesville or in Puerto Rico. I can't wait for Puerto Rico, honestly. That's going to be a very fun, great competition down there also. So, all around, we're just itching to get started.
Have you been to Puerto Rico before?
I've never been. I've never been. I don't really go out the country, but I can't wait.
I don't know what the itinerary looks like in Puerto Rico, but I went one time and they've got a lot of fun stuff to do there. I don't know if y'all have any off days, but I'm sure y'all be pretty packed in there with the baseball schedule. You mentioned the weather in Charlottesville, 20 degree temperatures. I don't know if that really gets you into the feeling for baseball season, but what's the practice been like so far since y'all started?
Yeah, I mean, it's been it snowed here last week, and it's kind of frozen all now. The field's frozen, so we haven't been able to get on it. So we've just been going down to the indoor football facility and practicing there. Just using everything we can until we can finally get on the field.
Get back to those other stopping grounds you used to be on. Let's get back to this, because when I talked to you in the fall, talking about coming back to UVA for your senior season, not something that you expected going into it, and you joked you've had to make a lot of tough decisions in your career between football and coming back and for your senior season. What has it been like, and how has it kind of settled in for you just coming back for a fourth year?
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun. You come back and now you're one of the older guys. You're basically, I'm not saying I wasn't a leader back then, but you're a true leader now. Everybody looks up to you. You've been through this. You've been on the team for 4 years now, and everybody's going to look at you as the answer, as when they have something to talk about, they have, you're going to be one of those guys. And, the reason, I came back is, this team has a really good shot of, winning the Natty this year. And I don't see why we can't. So just having the pieces come back with, Harrison and Jacob Ference and, et cetera, just, why not? It was a big thing of just, let's go win it. We get there, we see the outcomes that we don't want to see, but, let's get there and win it this year. So
I don't know if it's crazy to you, but I still think back. The first time I got to see you play any kind of athletic competition was at BYU, and you're coming in there late with the injury to Brandon Armstrong, and that seems like yesterday to me. And then, obviously your first season on the mound, coming into some big situations as a closer. Does that seem like yesterday to you? Because I'm like, how are you a senior right now?
Yeah, sometimes I do look back and like, wow, it doesn't feel that long ago. It really feels like, summer workouts for football was yesterday, and that's how it feels sometimes. But yeah, time flies. It's, especially when you're having fun.
It's been quite a career. Go back to the MLB draft, and I know you had a meeting with Brian O'Connor before that draft. What was that conversation like with him before you kind of got into the whole draft weekend?
Yeah, obviously, I was a little bit of a different situation between, Griff and EA. They kind of solidified themselves as going to the draft, as in, being a more high-round draft pick. My situation was a little bit different, as in, I had a little bit of inconsistency during the year. But, coach just told me, hey, there's a lot of, funky things that go into the draft. You kind of never know what's going to happen. But, still me, I expected, still get picked up. But then, when things end, I called Coach Oak and told him, I'm like, hey, like, it's time to go prove him wrong. That was the kind of mindset going in.
What day did you know that you were probably coming back?
Well, the draft was July 17th this year.
I think so. You're testing me on dates.
Yeah, July 17th, probably July 18th, I probably knew. I was like, okay, well, this is it's going to be, we're going to go back and, prove why, you should be the first day.
You brought up an interesting, when we talked in the fall, you brought up an interesting situation because Andrew Rabbit had a very similar kind of situation, although the draft was shortened that year because of COVID. And so he came back and kind of had that prove it senior season. How much do you look at a situation like that as like, all right, like that there's the example, there's the role model, go out and do it.
Yeah, definitely. Me and Coach Oak definitely talked about that situation. As I told him I was coming back, it's I know, as being a senior, you kind of lose your leverage with everything in the draft, but seeing Andrew go out and do it and making him, paving the way for seniors saying like, hey, it's not impossible to go out there and still be one of the higher round draft picks, So, yeah, definitely it's nice knowing that, it can be done. So
Is he's been around the program a couple times. Have you ever gotten a chance to talk to him?
yeah, so I've talked to Andrew a few times, not about the situation or
Yeah.
anything, just casual talk.
Because I think he got y'all cleats a couple years ago, isn't that right?
It was last year he got his cleats,
Last
yeah.
year, yeah. you talked about just kind of everything that's gone on this offseason. What's it like for you as a pitcher? Obviously, you come off a really heavy load in the postseason, all those innings that you toss. What did you kind of do to get ready for this upcoming year?
Just talking with Coach Oak and talking with Coach Drew, kind of just trying to piggyback off what we did in the postseason, even though the things in the past, but it's what we kind of just looked at, hey, what went right in the postseason? We got to figure out what went right, and let's keep getting better and better and better now. That's what the fall was for. The fall was amazing. Also seeing guys that never really got the chance to play or anything, or a freshman coming in and stepping up in big roles in the fall. So, this fall, like it was good for me and good for the team, and that's we're just going to keep piggybacking on what happened in the postseason.
Well, pitching is so different than kind of any other position in other sports because, like, it's not about, just getting in there and grinding away kind of in that same way. So, how did you kind of manage yourself? And how does that, just for people that don't understand, just how do you manage yourself in an off season?
Yeah, you like you said, it's a little different. You can't, if you're in a downtime situation, you can't throw every day, but you have to find ways to just stay in those repetitions. And if that's doing 1,000 dry reps of your mechanics every day, that's what you have to do, yeah. So like we're a little different. Like you said, we got to protect ourselves. We can't swing 1,000 swings a day. We can't throw 1,000 baseballs a day. Like that's just not us. But just anything to keep, trying to get better without having to throw. And then that's kind of the mindset.
It's not like you're Kyle Teal and can just go into the batting cages until God knows what time at night.
Yeah, and him and Godbout, they basically slept at the field. So.
Moving into kind of talk about your postseason last year. Obviously, we talked about, the 8 innings against Mississippi State in the regional where you won the Charlottesville Regional Most Outstanding Player, the 6 1/3 against Kansas State in the Super Regional. And it kind of, this quote always comes up when I talk to you about it is the one that from that meeting with Brian O'Connor during the season. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Do you have that like engraved anywhere? Do you like have that like just somewhere constantly? Because it seems like it's always on your mind.
Yeah, just that, like I guess you could say that was a perfect example of how, it's not how you start, how you finish. And I kind of kept the thing going on in the fall and everything. It's just things go bad in the first inning. You got to pick it up the second, and that's how, just that's how in my game, I kind of improved on just not dwelling on what happened, before it. You're never going to be in that hard space forever. It's going to be a greater outcome sooner or later. So. Yeah, me and Coach Oak use that a lot when we talk, but it's helped me a lot, so.
But how do you use that now, I guess, in the view of your whole career? Because now you're going into your last year. This year is how you finish your career.
Yeah, this like football is in the past, my first, second, third year is in the past, So however that went, I'm kind of thinking like, it doesn't matter now. It's just now. So it's not how I started my first year, started second or third, it's what we do now. And then, that's kind of my mindset going into my last year.
You talked about just kind of going through everything last season, going through the ups and downs, the roller coaster, and having a better grasp of who you are as a pitcher. And in what ways is that true?
I mean, yeah, in every single way possible, it's true. When you're kind of in, you're in the bushes, not knowing who you are, you're kind of just trying to go out and look for answers of who you are as a person or who you are as a pitcher. Going into the rabbit hole of, that dark place, it's kind of hard. It's hard to get out of it. You just, like I said, you're looking for answers. But once you figure out who you are and who you are as a pitcher, you almost feel like you're on top of the world and you almost feel like unstoppable. And that's kind of what I had to go through. I found the answer and, and I took that and ran with it. So,
You talk about that dark place. Was there a moment last year that you can kind of pinpoint is like that was like the rock bottom and then kind of where it went up from there?
yeah, I mean, I think, we were somewhere. I want to say Boston College, I think. Yeah, Boston College. Went out, first inning was like, I think I like, finally kind of, I felt like myself getting out of a slump a little bit. And first inning, I went really well. It just went 1-2-3. In the second inning, like, I didn't get out of it. And it kind of like, you're just like, why can't I get out this inning? Why? And I just kept asking why. And I couldn't find an answer for it. And that was kind of like the rock bottom moment. And I'm just like I don't know. It was really an I don't know moment for me. And I like I said, I couldn't find an answer. And it was just tough going out there on the mound thinking like, I hope everything goes well, instead of knowing everything is going to go well. And that's obviously, as a pitcher, you don't want to think like that. You want to go out there with the utmost confidence, thinking you're the best player on the field. But I didn't. I just, like I said, I was going out there hoping everything was going well, and so it didn't. So yeah, it sucked.
How did you rebuild it though to go into a regional atmosphere like the dish was that night against Mississippi State and have the confidence that you could go inning after inning?
I kind of, I'll just make this story short. There was a parent, he's on the team. His dad kind of came up to me and was just like, don't always, make sure, you watch who's, laughing in your face and all that. And I kind of like took it as like, what do you mean, but I kind of brushed it off. So then I'm like, when you're in the dark place, you start reading comments, you start reading Twitter and all that. And I did that, and I saw like when they announced that I was starting versus Mississippi State, I saw all the comments saying like, uh-oh, I'm nervous, I'm scared for this. And I'm just like, I kind of told myself, I don't ever want to feel that again. I never want to feel that feeling of like people don't like know who you are, people don't believe in you. So I never wanted to have that feeling again, and that's kind of what, drove me, to go, pitch the way I did. So
It's a wild moment just to kind of see where you come. And I thought your story was one of the best of last season and kind of one of the reasons that y'all got to the College World Series. We talked about it last year, just in the context of getting a better grasp of who you are as a pitcher. Your velocity came down a little bit. Where are you now, kind of on that fastball, and as you get ready for this season?
Right now, if I can remember, I mean, I guess it's probably the same as like the end of last year, the 91, 94. As of right now, I'm not expecting it to be in the highs or the mid to highs right now. I kind of want to, my goal was to peak in June, not in January. So, as of right now, it's like probably more like the end of last season, but we're going to tick it up. We'll tick it up.
Is that a comfortable spot for you though, right now, just to kind of be in that area, get better control, and then kind of, like you say, work your way, tick it up as you go on?
Yeah, I mean, it's comfortable right now. Like I said, I don't want to, peak too fast or anything, and build up way too fast. We're still in a build up mode right now too. It's rare. I don't think Coach Drew is going to let us go out there and try to pitch for 8 innings the first game. I don't. He never does that. So he's smart with it. All the coaches are smart with that. So they're not. We're technically right now we're still building up. As pitchers, so.
Yeah, the last time I can remember someone going kind of deep early in the season was maybe like Nate Savino in that game at Duke. That's the only one that could, like comes to my mind right now. Usually it's pretty like get in there and then like let's get to the bullpen, work a couple of guys in there, and that's kind of what the system has been. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back here on the Who's On podcast, talk a little bit about the College World Series last year and also this year's team for 2025. We'll be back here on the Who's On podcast. Welcome back into the Who's On podcast. I am joined by UVA pitcher Jay Wolfhook. Jay, going to Omaha, obviously, that is one of the key buzzwords every year with this team. You talked about kind of the expectations surrounding this team, number two in the D1 baseball preseason poll, six straight losses in Omaha. Obviously, your outing there against Florida State. How much does that kind of sit in y'all's mind, wanting to get back there, not just to get there again, but to actually do something once you do get there?
It's definitely in our minds, more of like the people who were on the team last year. We, like you said, six straight losses. That's something that you don't want to see as a program. That's not okay. But we're also taking it one step at a time. We can't just think of the end goal right now. We got to think of the journey to get there too. It's like it's not going to skip right to June right now. So we gotta. Like we're gonna, stay level headed. It's not let, we're not gonna ride a wave. We're just gonna stay level headed. We're gonna take it one series and one game at a time. And then, making everything just important. These midweeks matter. Sundays matter. When you're 2-0 on a weekend, that third game matters, and that's how you build, the preparation and championship level teams. They take every game serious, and right when we get to postseason, that's. When things have to tick up also, it's teams, good teams are going to take advantages of every little thing you do, So when we get to the postseason, it's, you have to have a little different of a mindset. You can see that teams change a little bit in the postseason. Pitchers on shorter leashes, you even see teams bunt more in the postseason just because it's win or go home. That's how it is. So yeah, it's always on the back. It's on the back of our mind. But right now we're going to start thinking like, hey, we need to get ready for Michigan on the first day. It's, but yeah.
Talk about those midweek games and how treating them important. That's been the thing about this program because y'all had a long streak there for a while where y'all were not losing those midweek games. And a lot of times those teams are coming in and like, they may have conference games this weekend, but they're pitching their best guy against you on a Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever because, they really want to get it because it's an in-state team, be it the ODUs or, I remember William and Mary last year gave y'all a really strong game. So how do y'all just kind of keep that, I guess that level through maintain that throughout the week before you even get to those big ACC weekend series?
Yeah, I mean, we don't look at who we're playing. We treat everybody the same. We're either like who, no matter who you are, if you're the number one team in the country, or you're at the bottom, it doesn't matter who we're playing. We're going to treat everybody the same. We're trying to win. It's we're not trying to slack off because who we're playing. That and that's the mindset that and the mentality that we go in playing in the midweeks. And I think, some people can, some teams can get a little, slackish during the midweek because it's a midweek. But not, we don't, we're going in trying to beat somebody by 20 every single game. So.
Going back to the College World Series last year, I think I might have been in response to the question I asked you up there, but you got emotional at the last press conference there. I don't know if you've heard it ever since, but one of the things you said was, please be behind Brian O'Connor because I promise you it's the right one. What do you remember about that, and what did you mean by that?
Yeah, Coach O'Connor's, as a head coach, I'm gonna speak for head coach coaches, they make the toughest decisions throughout the year, all year, and they get criticized for it every single time that they make it, whether it goes and when it goes wrong. But nobody wants to criticize them when it goes right. So Coach Oak, has made some, big decisions, and everybody's I listen, I see, people criticize him for some of the decisions he makes, and then I'm just like, well, I mean, y'all not in his shoes. Y'all don't understand what he thinks about. Y'all don't understand what, he prepares us to do, So that's what I kind of mean, I'm always going to be behind Coach O, right or wrong. And he's done so much for me. And so if he's going to war, I'm going to war right with him. So.
What were the emotions like at that moment? Because you also, you thanked Oak and you thanked Tony Elliott and Bronco Mendenhall. And I know at that point you're like, this is probably my last game. I may not be back here again. But what were those emotions like coming off the field in Omaha?
Yeah, definitely. It was hard coming off that field, just knowing that, hey, this could have been it. And this might have been it. And then going into the press conferences, thanking all of them, those three coaches, that they I wouldn't be in this position without them. They were the only school to let me do two sports. And while Coach O'Connor and Coach Mendenhall, made a plan for me while I was a freshman here, and carrying on to Coach Elliott, still sticking to that plan, it's nice to see that, and I don't think a lot of coaches would do that, especially if their quarterback is gone in the spring sometimes. And to see how they care, that just shows the level of how much they care about me as a person. They knew that I loved both, so that I wanted to play both, and they knew that. So that's it was just a great feeling.
Going back to that, I know it's a long time ago, even though it seems like yesterday. How do you view those 2 years? As the common joke was, Jay Wolfolk, the busiest man on grounds.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. That's something that, not a lot of people get to experience. You're switching back and forth, two different cultures. It's, like baseball and football, they're kind of two different people. But it's nice, you kind of build relationships that, they're never going to, end. They're going to last forever. These guys are going to be at your wedding. I mean, both sides. And but like it was fun. Like I said, not a lot of people get to experience. I get to, wake up early in the morning and play football, and then go to school, and then in the afternoon I'm playing baseball. Like that was fun to me. And like I said, I thank the coaches for allowing me to do that.
I don't know about the stats. I'd have to do some real deep digging. I don't know how many guys have started a college football game against Notre Dame and also pitched in the College World Series. I'd have to imagine the list is probably pretty small. How is that special to you?
It's very special. Going out, yeah, like I said, as a freshman, just going out there and going doing the best I can. Obviously I didn't get the result that I wanted, but like, and then 3 4 months later you're playing baseball somewhere. That is special. That's something, I can't wait to tell my kids and grandkids about. But yeah, so it definitely was special.
How much football do you watch still?
No, I mean, I watch a lot still. I definitely, when UVA's on, I watch usually every single game. Definitely going to watch the game tonight. But yeah, like it's, I still, it's kind of hard sometimes because I still watch games like I'm a quarterback. I know like a lot of people, like my girlfriend, she doesn't understand some things. I just start saying things as a quarterback, and yeah, so, but yeah, definitely.
You calling out like blitz pickups? Like what are you
Yeah,
doing?
it like so when I'm watching UVA, like I kind of know what play is going to happen. It's like, why didn't we do this? And it's just quarterback thinking.
What have you made of they've had a pretty eventful offseason. What have you made of what they've done?
I mean, I'm not surprised at what they've done. They're building something over there, and you can kind of see it. It's Coach Elliott, he's getting the right guys in there for, this upcoming season and even seasons after that. So he's a great guy, great coach. So he's going to do what he has to do. He's been to the top. He's won championships, so he knows what it takes to get there. And I believe he's going to get those guys in to, eventually get back there.
I think we got another guy trying to do both sports right now, right?
Yes, Prozzi. We call him
Yeah,
Prozzi.
Max Prosley, yeah.
Yeah, we yeah, he's doing well over here too. I don't know how he was over in football, but yeah, he's adapting well, definitely over here, so.
Very different positionally because he's a kicker and then I think like an inner middle infielder. Or,
Yes, he is.
yeah, so very different than quarterback and pitcher, just kind of practice-wise and everything. All right, let's talk about this 2025 team right now. What do you make of this roster after going through fall ball and kind of at the start of spring practice right now?
Think of this, this lineup that we have is the best lineup in the country. And you can see, if you look back, you can see the success that, UVA's baseball lineup has had in the past too. So, looking at the firepower that came back with, like I said, Harrison Dittawig, Jacob Ferentz, and you still have Henry Ford, Eric Becker, Henry Gaubout, and new additions like Chris Arroyo. And then so, like going against those guys every single day, it's, we're making each other better, making the pitching staff a lot better. So, I think we're putting the pieces together. I know last year we struggled with pitching a little bit at the beginning. But now you can kind of see a little different fire in some of the guys that, struggled last year. I'm not, we had a young pitching staff too, with, Matt Augustine being a true freshman and, Osinski being a new transfer. They're gonna, they adapted to this type of baseball now, and it's they, you can see the difference in how they go about themselves now. And so I think this year, I think we have more of a complete pitching staff this year. Like I said, our lineup is gonna be our lineup. They're never gonna slack off with anything, especially, with a great coach like Coach Mack, coaching them. So I think, like I said, the best lineup in the country, and the pitching staff is gonna be there. So
That was kind of the question all last season was Virginia going to get enough pitching to kind of help out this offense towards the end there? And obviously y'all did enough to get to the College World Series. But yeah, like you said, Evan Blanco kind of thrust into a new role for him. And obviously he picked that up well as the season went on. For you had your own troubles during the season and you kind of picked that up and you obviously bring in some new guys as well. What is it like kind of seeing where y'all are now as a pitching staff versus where y'all started last year?
oh, I mean, yeah, because right now it's a little, it's a little different, because you kind of have, you almost know the roles that you're going to be in now. There was a lot of uncertainty last year, if that kind of makes sense. It's, you didn't know who was doing who, what was doing what, and that's not on the coaching staff. I'm not saying that. I'm more saying it's like as a player, like a player itself. Because the coaches know everything, then right. As a player, you didn't know. So, but yeah, kind of going in, like I said, me and Blanco coming back, that's, I think that's huge for the pitching staff. And then, like I said, you have Matt Augustine, who's going to be a sophomore with experience. So you have Ryan Osinski, he's going to be experienced. Blake Barker's experience, we bought in guys too, like Joey Colucci, and like experience. Like, so we're going to be like, that's, I think that's a little bit of the difference between this pitching staff and last year's. We're going to be experienced, like, and knowing what it takes to, be at the top.
Just when you think this offense has kind of reached their height of powers, they kind of take a step the next year. I think every year you've been here, they've set records every single year. What is it like going against this lineup right now? And give me the toughest at bat.
Yeah, what it's like, I mean, it's just, you're going in and you're like, okay, you better make the right pitch, and they're making you better. That's how it is. And it, but I love it. We love that. Like, we're making each other better. And just, you look at, hey, you look at the people you're facing that day. You're like, okay, you have Diddy, Harry, Chris Arroyo, Henry Gaubert, Henry Ford. You're like, you can't catch a break almost. And but it's, and it's fun though, because in the back of your head you're like, okay, but this is an opportunity to get better, because if you make a mistake, they're going to do damage. And but yeah, just kind of the toughest at bats, probably Henry Gaubout is probably the toughest. He knows his zone very well. His bat to ball skills are out of this world. And it's like, like we talked about it today, Coach Oak said that Henry Gaubert is the best, one of the best two strike hitters in the country. So it's almost like when you get to two strikes on him, you're still not out of it. And I know there's like stats when you're 1-2 on a batter or something like that, they're batting 182. And it's like Henry, on the other hand, might be batting 300. And it's like, so it's like, 0-0, 3-1 counts to Henry Gaubert is still, 1-2 counts and stuff like that. So it's, he's probably the toughest. like I say, just knows his own bat to ball skills, and his hands are really fast, and so it's gonna be hard to, blow a fastball or anything by him.
Just such good contact rate, just like you said, really knows the zone. Who is, give me just a name or two guys that have stood out to you who's made a jump as a pitcher and then as a hitter.
James Nunnally, he's a freshman, came in. He's definitely, I see him being a real big, piece of our lineup this year, and then he's, like, he's almost, it looks like he's a third year, where he carries himself and how he's, put himself in that lineup. He doesn't act like a freshman at all. Pitching wise, probably my roommate, Matthew Buchanan. He stood out to me. He went through a lot. But it's fun. It's nice getting, getting him out there and throwing a lot of innings in the fall. And I thought he was our fall MVP for as a pitcher. He does, like, he changed his arm slot, and now he could have a really important role in the spring. So just seeing how hard he worked just to, get on the field for his last year, and that kind of stuck with me, like, hey, like, if he can do it, I can do it, it's type thing, but yeah, like, those are my two that kind of, like, stood out to me.
Yeah, you mentioned Nunnally. He's wearing the number three. He is a catcher slash outfielder. I know he's probably playing in the outfield a little bit more. It just kind of reminds me of some other guys that have done that in the past in Virginia. Real quick, just is there a new? I want to ask about Chris Arroyo because he's unique in like in a similar way to you, doing two different things. What has stood out about him and just kind of what getting to watch him kind of go through fall ball and now seeing him now?
I mean, he's basically a jaw dropper. He freaking, hits home runs. He hits the ball hard every single, and he gets on the mound and pitches well. It's, you don't get a lot of guys like that. You don't see those guys every single day. And but yeah, it's fun to watch him. And, like, when seeing him, that he can be our 3, 4, 5 hole this year, and he could possibly have 20 plus home runs this year also. You're just like, I'm glad he's on my team, but, like, his demeanor and how he carried himself even picked up later in the fall. He started being smarter at the plate. It's in how he adjusts to everything. It's he's going to be a really, really, really good player in this program this year, and I can't wait to watch him. So.
I can't imagine if it's a fun job or, excruciating job to try to put Henry Gaib out, Eric Becker, Henry Ford, Chris Arroyo, Jacob Ferentz, Harrison Tinnewick, Aiden Teel, all these guys, putting them in a lineup or not. Like, would you want that job?
Oh no, I give props to Coach Oak for having to deal with that, because I couldn't. I don't. Our lineup right now is, it's up in the air, because everybody on the team could play. That's and that, but I think that's a great problem to have. But everybody on the team can play, and, like I said, Coach Oak, he does the best job he can, and I give him props for that, because I wouldn't know what to do in the situation.
Another guy that I've heard some good things coming out of fall ball was Luke Hansen. Just kind of where he's taking his game. What have you seen out of him?
Yeah, I mean, you can see how you're taking his game to another level. He's always been a really good, fielder. He has the arm to be, one of the best third basemen here. But the maturity level that he's taken at the plate, it's out of this world. He doesn't swing at any bad pitches. He knows his zone. He's gotten better with knowing the zone. It's not all about getting better at hitting. Like I said, he doesn't swing at bad pitches, and his bat to ball skills got really, really good also. So, him being in that lineup this year, being an everyday guy now, because I know him and Becker switched off last year, but him being an everyday guy, I expect a lot of big things from Luke. So yeah, like, he's his maturity level, and he's grown, to this point, it's shot up.
Last thing, and I'll get you out of here. You talked about Puerto Rico at the beginning. You got Puerto Rico, and then you got the event in Texas. What's it like straight off the bat? You're going against really good competition in a really unique format.
Yeah, that's it's fun. You know, that's what you want. You know, it's you don't want as a top team in the country, you know, like everybody's gonna be, you know, gunning for you. Everybody's gonna send their best at you. And that's what you want. You know, you don't you can't you want to beat people when they're at their best too. You know, that's how, you know, you become a great team. And you know, we're ready for it. You know, we'll always be ready for it. And you know, I know we can't win them all, but our mindset is like, hey, bring your best, we're gonna bring ours. You know, then you know, you can't wait for that challenge. You know, like you said, we're going to see really good competition in these first 2 weekends. You know, every single team can go to Omaha that we're about to play, and that's, you know, and we love that. You know, it's going to get us better by playing these, you know, really high level teams. So, you know, like I said, we're going to be ready, and you know, like we hope everybody else is ready too.
All right, Jay, we hit on everything. Thank you for coming on the Who's On podcast. Love having you here and can't wait for baseball season to get underway. You can follow thesaber.com for all our baseball coverage all throughout the season. Remember to follow and subscribe to the Who's On podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcast. We'll see you later in the week with more here on the Who's On podcast.